It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited 3 members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
The Mark Reardon Show.
I am for defunding the police, and for me, it's a reallocation of funds.
It does not appear she has made any reasonable efforts to prevent the resulting chaos.
This didn't work out.
The Biden administration knows what it needs to do, and it says, well, we'll do anything except what works. It's a special kind of stupid.
God save the Queen, man.
This is the Mark Reardon Show.
Well, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. How's everybody?
You know what? I'm okay, but it's just one of those days, Fred.
Yeah, it's kind of gloomy out. Yeah,
that didn't sound very... man, Sue's like, not really. I don't feel very good. It's a gloomy... It is kind of a gloomy day, though.
It is. It's 70 degrees, and I have an azalea blooming. My plants are all just confused.
Well, you know, I did that... We all did that last... lawn cutting of the year.
Yeah.
Will it still grow now? Like, if it gets warm like this, I really don't know either.
I have like a series of onion grass sprouts throughout my backyard. That's what it is. And I don't really want to mow it. I'm just going to go out with scissors and chop it down. That seems reasonable.
We could do the weed whacker thing.
I want to see that.
Yeah, get video of that.
I did one patch and I thought, I'm an idiot. But
how was deer hunting this weekend, Fred?
Oh, yeah. So what did you bring home?
Oh, wait. I thought you were out in the woods, were you? Sue, do you want to hear about what happened?
Okay, what happened?
Well, the good news is the deer won, okay?
Huh.
I did not kill a deer. I saw a bunch on Saturday morning, and I was very hopeful for Saturday afternoon. I got out in my stand pretty early, and to no avail. It was very windy. For the hunters in the audience, they would appreciate this more than others. And I'm sorry, I opened the show with like a little coughing fit here. I have 2 stands. One is in the woods. One is a box stand on the fringes of a food plot. And I got into the little box stand Saturday morning, and I saw a bunch of does like within 30 or 40 yards. And I just kept waiting and waiting because the males, you know, they chase the does this time
of
year.
Oh, I see.
It's called the rut. And they get stupid just like we do, like humans, men, because they're... You know,
the hot chicks are out
look,
there,
exactly,
Mark. That's what I've heard.
Exactly. So I'm watching these does, and I look in the distance, I don't know, maybe 75 yards, and there's a buck just staring at me. A good one, too. And I reach for the gun, and then he was gone. That was it.
Wow.
So I had hope, though. I'm like, oh, I know these bucks, and I kicked up another one. I said, I know they're out here, so I get back in the stand. My friend Kevin Yeager, my hunting mentor, says, well, you get out there too early, you're going to get bored. Ah, I'm not going to get bored. I go out there. I got pretty bored because I didn't see anything but one deer. And then I was following the Mizzou game. Fred, were you following the Mizzou game?
No.
So, you know, they kicked off around 3:25. I'm in the deer stand when all this is happening. I can't really get good phone service, but I could get text messages. So I knew what was happening. But by the time we got in, did you pay any attention to that, Sue? Probably
that was
not.
It went up in flames.
What a thriller. It did go up in flames, but it was a great, great finish to the game.
Oh, good.
And
all right.
It sucked because Luther Burden Jr. had this, or I guess we call him Luther Burden III, had this incredible one-handed catch.
Ooh.
And then South Carolina came down on the final drive, and unfortunately, they stole the victory. But that was pretty fun. I did, by the way, I had some observations about the fight on Friday night. Fred, did you watch the fight?
I did.
Did you?
I did. Yeah,
okay.
I did. So, I knew both my sons were watching in their cities, so I thought I better watch so I can talk with them.
Well, hold your thoughts on that, because I tried, and I'm going to explain what happened.
You weren't alone. Yeah.
Well, I wasn't alone, but I thought I was alone, because we had to use, I'll do this at four, we had to use a hotspot. So I'm sitting there thinking,
oh, this is fun.
It wasn't, though, right?
No, yeah, it wasn't.
Right? I know. You know, Netflix might have wanted to test that one out, the whole live stream. Because, you know, when Amazon did all that the first time, it didn't go very smoothly.
I can't remember
what the event was, but they had to learn
football?
A lot. I think there was something before football, but
you're
even
right.
On their first football game or two, they were still getting their sea legs and stuff like that. Now, the one thing I will tell you that I was, and I actually feel badly about this because I wanted to do this with my daughter, but we had to scoot out early yesterday to make it for a screening of Wicked at the Galaxy in Chesterfield, and I found out on Saturday afternoon, I don't know if you know this, do you know how long that movie is?
No.
It's approximately 8 hours, I think.
Oh, my gosh.
Because, no, it's 2 hours and 40 minutes. Now, keep in mind, this is only part one. So I was just exhausted, and I'm old, and, you know, I wanted to watch football, too, but I was really tired, and I wanted to see Wicked. But my wife, God bless her, she took, I don't even want to say take the hit, because I wanted to see the damn movie. She went with Alexa. They freaking loved it.
Oh, good.
Becky said, and this is, I've done this with films before, too. She said, I could go see it again right now. And that's a great, especially for a 2 hour and 40 minute movie.
That's impressive.
So my daughter loved it, and I think people are going to like it. It opens later this week. I wish I had seen it. I'm going to try to have to, you know, make it to the theater before it comes out. But I think my old age got to me yesterday. But let's talk about, I think my favorite story of the weekend has to be Joe and Mika. I mean, I wake up this morning, and Fred, you know, like I was out. I was watching football yesterday. The Chiefs lost. That was a good game, too.
Right.
And I don't pay a ton of attention to what's going on. I did know somebody was texting me, a friend, that Will Scharf got a pretty good position with the administration.
Yeah.
But then I woke up this morning, I'm thinking, wait a second, is this a dream? Is this a fantasy? Is this real? Are they punking us? Because let's go back in time just a little bit. When I say go back in time, what, like 2 weeks ago?
The retweeting of neo-Nazi videos, Charlottesville. I mean, I go on and on what he said about majority black countries.
If Republicans continue this line of thinking, if they continue their support for Donald Trump, they needn't fool themselves. A second Trump administration would destroy the Department of Justice.
Yeah, it would destroy everything, right? It's a threat to democracy. So they went down to Mar-a-Lago, Joe and Mika, to hang out with Trump. And this is what they said.
We were given the opportunity to do just that. Joe and I went to Mar-a-Lago to meet personally with President-elect Trump. It was the first time we have seen him in 7 years.
And it's going to come as no surprise to anybody who watches this show, has watched it over the past year or over the past decade, that we didn't see eye to eye on a lot of issues.
You think?
And we told him so.
What we did agree on was to restart communications. In this meeting, President Trump was tearful. He was upbeat. He seemed interested in finding common ground with Democrats on some of the most divisive issues. And for those asking why we would go speak to the president-elect during such fraught times,
especially between
us,
yes.
I guess I would ask back, why wouldn't we?
Well, because he's Hitler and because he's a Nazi. And because he's a threat to democracy, and because he's a bigot, and because he's a xenophobe, and because he's misogynistic, and because he's a felon, all these things that they've said for weeks and weeks and weeks, and now all of a sudden, we'll just move on now that we don't have anyone left in our audience because the people that hate Trump, they've left us anyway because they're so disgusted, so they're not watching.
Yeah, they got to get a viewer. That's
right, exactly. I guess that's what it is, but that's really... Now, you know, I'd love to hear reaction along those lines. Wouldn't it be awesome if Joy Reid went and sat down with Trump? So the gang on The View, still smarting from the Whoopi Goldberg cake incident from last week, which still has some legs, by the way, and we can get into that. But of course, we can depend on Sunny Hostin this morning throwing up the red flag for this meeting when she was asked about it at the table on The View.
Look, the bottom line is that America needs a free press that is willing to speak truth to power right now.
Okay, that in and of itself is hilarious. Well, but what she's saying is that, you know, you have I'm going to have to agree with her on this point.
Of course. Does she mean it?
Well, but she's we'll get to it. If you're a news anchor, if you are supposedly a nonpartisan journalist, let's take Norah O'Donnell at CBS. I mean, we know she's biased as hell, right? But let's just say you're somebody like that. You get invited down to Mar-a-Lago. I don't think that that's the best idea when it comes to journalistic integrity, right? But and you're going to hear Sonny refer to this. They're opinion hosts, right? They're not necessarily news anchors, so maybe it's a little different. I'll tell you a story here real quick. Fred, you might remember this, you might not remember it, but in my first couple of years when I was on Afternoon Drive on Camel X, which would have been the era of 2008, 2009, I have to think about this with the elections, but there was a guy that I became very close with, Tom Schweik, who became the state auditor, and he ended up killing himself. I don't know if you remember that story several years ago, and what happened in that circumstance has no relation to what I'm about to tell you, but the way that I got to know Tom, who was a very smart attorney, he had worked with, was close with Jack Danforth, a lot of history in Missouri. He had great taste in music, which is how we connected. But Schweik wrote an op-ed in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch ripping Senator Blunt, saying, we can do better than Roy Blunt. And I think he was in the House. Maybe it was his first Senate run at the time. You know, he was leaving the House, deciding to run for the Senate. So that would have been around that time. And I agreed with Tom Schweik at the time. Now, I was a little bit new to Missouri politics, back in Missouri politics. I had been here, but a lot had changed since 1997 when I left and I went to Wisconsin. So I go on the air and I'm ripping Blunt. I'm like, yeah, I think we can do better here than this, because I'm looking at, even then, shaking things up a little bit, getting away from the status quo. Well, Rich Krismer, who became a friend, is a political consultant here in St. Louis. His father is also an elected official out in St. Charles County, but younger Rich is who I'm talking about here. He reached out to me and said, hey, Roy would like to sit down with you. And I took the meeting. Well, what is the human instinct that you have if you have a relationship with someone versus not having a relationship with someone?
You like them better. Or you'd like him better.
You're less prone to go after him. So well, sure. I'll use the example of David Letterman a little bit, too, because I've talked about this before. Now, I've been a news person and a talk show host, so I took that meeting with Roy Blunt, but it was very difficult for me to hammer the crap out of Roy Blunt. And they knew that. It was a strategy. Of course you do that, right? Mm-hmm. It was brilliant. It was good politics at the time. But in this situation, I wasn't talking about Roy Blunt being a threat. I mean, it wasn't like I had to flip my
entire
ideology or anything like that. It was just, look, we had a good conversation. I ended up having a lot of appreciation for what Senator Blunt achieved, not only in the House as the whip, and he could have been Speaker, but as, you know, a member of the Senate as well. So you'll hear Sonny kind of refer to that, but it's just such a turnaround. I mean, it's such a dramatic turnaround.
More than ever. And I think that we have to be very clear-eyed when we think about the president-elect and cover the president-elect. And I don't think you need to sit down for 90 minutes at Mar-a-Lago and kiss his ring to be able to speak truth and to be able to cover a story.
You know, on that front, taking all the personalities out of it, I'd say I kind of agree with her. Well, let's just say the situation was reversed a little bit here, and Harris won, and then you got the people from Fox going over there and, you know, doing kissy-kissy face. I'm not sure that would be, well, I don't think it would be the best way to go. But she goes beyond that, of course.
So maybe they're not journalists in the true sense. Maybe they're saying that they're opinion journalists. But we have to remember that Trump is the guy who ushered in the era of fake news. He is the guy who ushered in alternative facts. Uh-huh. He is the guy who attacked three black female journalists. He's the guy that revoked Jim Acosta's press credentials for asking him a question.
Yeah, that's my thank you, Kenny Wallace.
Serious?
You want to talk about the integrity of the media, Sonny Hostin, not flagging what these guys have done on MSNBC in particular. You don't even have to look at the New York Times or anyone else. Just look at MSNBC, which is a division of NBC, right? And part of NBC News. And they keep saying things about the media, and they don't even realize how they're complicit in all this.
I think that this president-elect, I hate to say it, would like nothing more than to have only Fox News cover him, would like nothing more than a state-sponsored media. And I don't think he can be trusted in the way that other presidents can be trusted. This is an aberration.
Well, a couple things there, Sonny. He loves going on with you
of
guys.
Of course he
He'll
does.
He'll do it at any time, any place, because it's kind of sport to President Trump. But it's hilarious that when you have a media, let's just look at one situation. We don't have to look at anything else. Let's just look at the situation of the cognitive ability of the person who, in theory, is still running the country right now, Joe Biden. A story that has been covered up for years, we know this. We know this from extensive reporting from all kinds of different people, right? In new books. And no one wants to peel back that little onion right now and say, you know what, maybe we should examine ourselves just a little bit from that perspective and why we weren't doing our job in the last few years to let the American people know that the guy in the White House was slobbering over himself a lot longer than we let on. And why are we not? What's our motivation for not telling the truth to the American people? We have to protect them from democracy, the threat to democracy in the evil, bad orange man. And then it all backfired. I'll get to this a little bit later. We might get to this at 3:45 because I got a break here and get Cassie Smedley on, who's awesome. She's always a great guest, former RNC chair. I have this amazing, and I've called it down, audio video. It's video, obviously, that we'll play here, of this little eighth grade African-American kid in Chicago challenging his teacher, who did the same thing that many of my friends have done on the left, saying, if you voted for Trump, you're bad. We can't be friends with you. We can't have Thanksgiving dinner with you. And this little eighth grade African-American kid just used common sense. He just used common sense.
Nice.
And he became a viral hero for this. And we'll get to that here in just a little bit. I mentioned Cassie's coming up here. We got Sue's News. I do want to talk a little bit more about the Jake Paul, Mike Tyson fight and what happened on Netflix. We got Bob Onder, newly elected congressman for the 3rd District in Missouri coming up. Matt Pauly's going to pinch hit for Cusimano this afternoon. And we got a whole lot more. It's all coming up on a Monday edition. All right, I mentioned we're going to talk a little bit about the fight on Netflix from a different perspective after 4 o'clock before Sue's News. The Chiefs game, that was tough yesterday against the Bills, although they only have one loss, and it really went down to the wire. Our next guest, Cassie Smedley, might have something to say about that. She's got Kansas City roots, former RNC press secretary. A tough one yesterday with the Bills. But, you know, you're going to have some losses, right?
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
You know, as we were just saying, I was telling Fred this, we needed to get the loss out of the way when it didn't matter. I hate that it was to the Bills, but the pressure to be undefeated was was mounting, and I'm glad we got it out of the way. And now we can just keep on winning.
Yeah, the only downside with the Bills is if you lose a couple more and then you have the same record as they would have the tiebreaker for home field. But look, there's still a lot of football to be played here, and nothing embarrassing about that game yesterday. Let me play, as we start to talk politics here, a little bit from one of our senators, Eric Schmidt, Cassie.
You have to have people you trust to go into these agencies and have a real reform agenda. And that's why I think there's real momentum to get these nominations confirmed to actually deliver what President Trump promised on the campaign trip.
So, Cassie, he's talking obviously about the picks for the cabinet, which some of which have been controversial. I don't know if you've noticed that with Matt Gaetz. And I, talked about some of this before I left for the weekend on Friday. But your thoughts on Matt Gaetz in particular, does anyone think he's going to be confirmed?
Well, first of all, with respect to Eric Schmidt, Missouri has two great senators. I still say we. I claim Missouri.
That's
still,
okay. You should.
Even though I don't get to live there anymore. But, gosh, we're lucky. And I do think that, you've heard a lot of senators say it is our constitutional duty to advise and consent. We're going to go through a full process. And so he's probably going to have the most heavily scrutinized nomination process. But here's the other piece of this, and this is something that I think a lot of senators, especially after that leadership race last week and the pressure that they were receiving from constituents and on social media and others, is that the American people are paying attention. We gave government a mandate with our vote, not just Donald Trump, but the entire government. As you saw, a lot of Republicans get elected and seats flipped, and of course, majorities flipped and all the rest of it. That came with a responsibility. And so if somebody is not qualified and you unearth that through the nominations process, that's one thing. But just because you don't like the guy personally, of which I understand is the case for a lot of them with Matt Gaetz, and frankly, somebody worked on Capitol Hill for 10 years, it's all about relationships. And when you have an office or a member of Congress that's really difficult to work with, it just makes everybody, it's a headache for everyone. So if that's part of it, that may or may not be a reason to sink the nomination. There's got to be more to it, and I think they're going to go through that process. But there's a whole host of others that he's nominated, of course, with RFK Jr. and Tulsi Gabbard and Pete Hegseth and, of course, Marco Rubio, that he's building this coalition for America First and returning a sense of, I say duty, but I mean duty to these jobs of people who are in there understanding the assignment that they've been given by the American people and are putting Americans, not just America, but Americans first again, which is something we haven't had.
I agree completely. Did you see, I was going to run down some of this here, maybe even this hour. Did you see Andy Kessler's piece in the Wall Street Journal about DOGE, about the Department of Government Efficiency? Because I said, last week a couple of times, I really am hopeful that there's an opportunity here to do something really, really lasting. And I've been waiting for it for about 40 years, Cassie, because I voted for Ronald Reagan in 1984, and I've always wanted the size and scope of government to be reduced, and it's really, both parties are complicit in letting this kind of get out of control. But he has a great little breakdown of some of the things that could potentially happen. Now, these are also things that when most people who aren't dialed into the specifics hear, you're going to, get rid of the Department of Education, which might be a pretty high hurdle, there's reason to say things like that because the federal government is so bloated. So what's your thought on the opportunity to actually do something here with reducing the size of government?
Yeah, as you say, it's something that everybody has been talking about for a long time, but I think it's reached a fever pitch among Americans, all of us everyday Americans who are saying, gosh, when we are feeling the pain of this already, of this debt, of this out of control spending. And furthermore, it seems like there's a lot of spending that we're not getting a clear explanation for. And where's that accountability? Can you at least bring that back to us? And again, from working on Capitol Hill, I understand it's easier said than done. There's a lot tied up in mandatory spending, and a lot of legislators were pretty crafty in how they put together legislation to ensure that, Obamacare being a perfect example of something that has mandatory spending components, which make it really hard to undo. And that's very frustrating, of course. But I will say, I love, unlike, we always think of like the Simpson-Bowles Commission, for those who have kind of been following these efforts in the past, two things that didn't have. One, it didn't have Elon Musk, who, heads up a social media platform that he can get information out to millions of people in a nanosecond. And I think that's going to be different because we're going to see this stuff in real time. It's not going to be behind closed doors where they're compiling some report and then after 2 or 3 years, we're going to see it. it's going to happen pretty quick. And the other reason I think that's the case is between Elon and Vivek, they are businessmen. And as we know in the business world, and this is, like I said, I came from Capitol Hill and campaigns, but now I work in Coin, which is a business and a startup. And we don't exist if we don't have customers and do right by those customers. That's where these guys come from as well. And I keep having these visions that Elon's got some AI software that's spitting out government inefficiency in 30 seconds.
Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be great? By the way, that's a great reference for Simpson Bowles. And, you know, I had kind of forgotten about that. And I loved Alan Simpson. I actually talked to him. He came to St. Louis in the aftermath of that and had some great conversations with him. But that was an effort during the Obama administration to really identify some of the things that were wasteful. But to your point, it'd be interesting to go back and do a scorecard on that and see if anything really got done, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right. And you hear about the pork report. I forget. I think it was a senator from Nebraska.
Oklahoma. Who was it? Tom Coburn, I think it was. I think it was Coburn.
There we go. Yes,
yeah.
Please. That's exactly right. And the pork report. So this stuff has been out there for years, and that's a great starting point. And I guess this also gets down to the fundamental question of what is the appropriate role of government? And for those of us on the conservative side, we believe, and I think the majority of Americans showed this two Tuesdays ago, that it's gotten out of control. It's way too big. It should be much more limited. It's taking on too big of a role in our lives. But also, why is the government the lead researcher of, you know, how fast a rat can walk on a treadmill or whatever it is?
Yes, exactly.
Why is that a role? So I think there are things like that that hopefully they can pick out and put a spotlight on and at least put the onus on people to justify it.
There's just so much. That's the thing. But even if they could accomplish, you know, a little bit here in the next 2 years, yeah, I think that would be really huge. Then there's immigration. And, you know, this is one of those 80-20 issues. We found even many Hispanic people are outraged by what's happening at the border. So what's the reality of deportations in your mind?
Well, first of all, how great was that announcement from Donald Trump right out the gate that Tom Homan would really be at the helm of this process?
Loved it.
Somebody who, right? I think everybody was jumping up and down on their couch saying, yes, this is going to be different. And what we kind of forget about Tom Homan, he did this under the Obama administration. So he knows the ins and outs of the system. He knows what it's looked like before, what it looked like with Trump, what it is now looking like with Biden. And I've had the chance to talk with him a couple of times through different communication efforts. And he's got the plan ready to go. He sees it clear as day. And I think part of that is going to be reinstituting some of these mandates that Biden did away with on day one. Like, let's just get back to the baseline of a secure border. But, you know, he said there's just some obvious low-hanging fruit. If you are a convicted criminal, you're out. If you have a known gang affiliation and we know where those hotspots are, you're out. And I love that he said, you know, for this roundup of governors who are saying that they're not going to help them, he says, no problem. I don't need your help. I can find it elsewhere. And you're already seeing that with law enforcement and Border Patrol agents. I'm sure their morale is the highest it's been in 4 years because they see that they have a partner at the top now that, of course, has been absent the last 4 years. And you know, I'd be remiss if I said, I think it was Congressman Gonzalez from Texas who said, you have to go about this in a way that makes sense to the American people. If you start by rounding up, as he said, by rounding up the abuelas, you're not going to bring the American people with you on this issue. That's not what they voted for. They voted for the people who have made their way into this country, jumped the line, crossed illegally, and aren't contributing to our country, and in fact, are making us feel less safe. And I don't know if you watched the opening statement for, I knew I'd bring it up and I forget her name and I hate that. Laken Riley in Georgia.
I did.
The opening statement from her trial. Two things I did. One, I started to watch it and it was too much to bear.
Heartbreaking.
So I turned the channel, but I texted 10 girlfriends and said, start sharing your location with me immediately. That is a sad testament to our country right now that a person doesn't feel comfortable going on a run at 9:20 in the morning on a college campus.
Yeah, now you should put this into context. Because the testimony was, that because of that, she was sharing her location with these friends of hers. And then when she went missing, that's how they found her.
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you for sharing that. That's exactly right. With her roommates and her mom said, this isn't normal.
Right.
So that's how they were able to find her. And thankful for technology and her ability to call 911 and fight, that's how we now have all this evidence mounting against this horrific man. But again, he came into the country in 2021. Had those policies remained in place from the Trump administration, she might very well still be alive.
It's
that kind of moment that is why you saw the result on November 5th and why so many people, when they said immigration is the top priority, it wasn't because we're insensitive to people who want to come here to our country legally and make a better life for themselves. It is because we no longer feel safe in communities that we took for Absolutely. Granted as being safe places.
Absolutely. And that, you know, it's been, I was listening to some more testimony today. That is such a hard trial to listen to. They were testifying about the scratches on, you know, his arms because there's a very strong indication that she fought like hell. And it I can't imagine what her mother and what her family's going through right now. But Cassie, thanks for jumping on here on this Monday with me. I appreciate it.
Mark, great to be with you. Have a great week.
We will talk soon. You know, on the issue of the Department of Government Efficiency, I'm going to run down some ideas. Where are you going to cut? Where should the priorities be? We have some ideas and thoughts. We'll share those next on 97.1 FM Talk. So you see the Trump dance going crazy in the world of athletics. Even across the pond, you had a soccer game where Barnsley players did the dance in unison after scoring against Cambridge United. You've had Drake University, Northern Illinois, East Carolina. You had the MMA fight at Madison Square Garden.
That's where I saw the winner do it. It was awesome.
This is Clay Travis here talking about it.
All over the NFL and the UFC over the weekend, athletes, black and white, were doing the Donald Trump YMCA dance everywhere. It's because there is a cultural awakening. The woke ridiculousness of the Democrat Party is being overwhelmingly rejected by mainstream Americans, and Democrats seem content to double and triple down on what got them whipped in the election 13 days ago.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite parts. They do continue to double and triple down, but let them do that while they're trying to get to work here in Washington. Let's talk about that. I might try to get Andy Kessler on from the Wall Street Journal. He wrote about this morning. And, you know, one of the questions that certainly a lot of us should have is, where do you start doing the snipping and the cutting when it comes to the Department of Government Efficiency? One thing I learned this morning from Andy's column is that I did not know that the whole DOGE acronym is an inside joke that is based on, I guess it would be, is it Dogecoin or Dogecoin?
Oh.
That was something that Musk hyped a few years ago.
Doge.
He called himself the Doge Father on Saturday Night Live. So the price spiked 1,000% in a month, and then it crashed 70% over the next few months. So Musk says that's a perfect bar. I love this. He gets 70% of the government. Let's cut 70% of the government. Very similar to what he did when he was working on Tesla's Model 3. So Where do you do this? Now, one of the things that I want to warn people about, and I have high hopes for this, and I hope that they can actually do some serious restrictions when it comes to the size and scope and the money that is spent from the federal government. The real issues are with the entitlements, okay? And when I say that, that's Medicaid, that's Social Security. Mainly, it's Medicare and Social Security.
What do you mean, the real issues?
The real issues with the federal budget deficit spiraling out of control. It's not because necessarily of the discretionary spending. The discretionary spending plays a very small part in the entire federal budget. Having said that, to me, it doesn't mean that you don't go after the discretionary spending, because I think at this point where we're trying to help the American people, every little dollar helps. But my point is, if they go through this whole exercise and they take the scalpel to several things, in the whole scheme and the big picture of the federal government, it may not make that much of a difference because we have to spend so much on Medicare and Social Security.
Yeah, but it certainly would be a help, and that would, of course, help the future, right? If we shrink everything down, then it would be fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Let's not only shrink, let's get rid of some stuff. So one of the things, Andy kind of goes down here, and I'm just going to go through the list of what he, you know, says we should keep and what we should toss. And some of this is going to sound really extreme to people, like the Department of Education, because they think, oh, a government entity like the Department of Education, that has to be a good thing. We're talking about helping kids, right? Well, the same Department of Education that really did wonders 3 years ago in keeping kids out of school and forcing them to mask up because they were absolutely on the same page with that crap from the Biden administration. So here's where he starts. Andy Kessler says, the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, toss it. The current FTC under Lina Khan has a worse record, he says, than the Chicago White Sox. The FTC already, and this is a good point, though, here. They split antitrust cases with the Justice Department. So he says, move a few pro-consumer competition lawyers over there and then get rid of the FTC.
Interesting.
The FCC. You know, I was mentioning this earlier, Sue. We've worked in broadcasting for a long time, right?
Oh, yeah.
Remember when we had logs and things like that?
Oh, yeah. And you had to have, remember back in the way back, you had to have a license to broadcast.
I got a license.
Yeah,
right?
I've
like
got
a third class license. Now, you could go for like the better license if you studied for it, like an engineer. But yeah, the FCC would you know, rule on all these things. Well, now, let's face it, there's not as much to do with the FCC. And they don't handle cable or, you know, satellite radio or something like that. So how about get rid of it? Here's Brendan Carr, by the way. This is the guy that's going to run the FCC. This guy's awesome.
In 2021, Vice President Harris agreed to lead the administration's signature $42 billion effort to extend internet service to millions of Americans. It's now been 1,039 days since that program was enacted.
Listen to this.
After all of that time, not one person has been connected to the internet.
Oh my God.
Not one home, not one business, not even one shovel worth of dirt has been turned.
Now, there are programs out there. I was just in a rural part of Missouri where we would have loved to have had better broadband, but that's kind of stunning when you think about it, isn't it?
Yeah.
It gets worse. No infrastructure builds will even start until sometime next year at the earliest, and in many cases, not until 2026. This makes Vice President Harris's $42 billion initiative the slowest moving federal broadband deployment program in recent history.
Congratulations. And by the way, in Andy Kessler's column in the Wall Street Journal, he says the FCC caused the dot-com boom and bust. Net neutrality killed broadband in Europe, yet it was reinstated here under the Biden administration. Spectrum auctions are why we overpay for cell service. Three economists in a back room can create and maintain a set of rules to keep access competitive. I'm down with that. Securities and Exchange Commission, TOS. I'm going to expect this one's not going to happen, but let's get it out there. The SEC missed. Well, you can criticize the SEC for not, you know, doing their job with the Bernie Madoff Ponzi scheme. They allowed crypto and SPAC pump and dumps. He said missed the FTX fiasco. Free trading requires setting and enforcing simple rules. The U.S. Department of Agriculture, TOS. This will finally end corn subsidies for Iowa. People aren't going to like that. Some of the farmers, I do not like the corn subsidies and some of the things that go on with the ag bills that get passed from year after year. It's going to be tough, though, to get rid of that. You have too many rural conservative lawmakers who are not going to be able to go back to their farmers and say that's not going to happen. The Federal Reserve, he says, shrink. The central bank missed Biden inflation. Dart throwers could do better than its 400 PhDs. Cut its funding. Thank you very much. Defense Department. This gets tough, too. OK, let's be honest about this. We have a lot of jobs here in St. Louis that are supported by Boeing. Right. So you start spending less money, people will be affected. That's why it gets controversial. That's why lobbyists get involved. But he says reallocate. On defense, this I would draw a different distinction a little bit. I'm all for efficiency with defense spending,
right?
But that's also a constitutional responsibility that the United States federal government has. But let's do it better. Reallocate spending to drones, ships, and defense systems such as Patriot missiles, anti-missile defenses can be a giant export for business, which is true. We're finding that out in the last couple of years for sure. Oh, this is one of my favorites, Sue. The U.S. Postal Service.
Oh, no.
TOS. Get rid of it. It's not doing its job and its monopoly on first and third class mail. Go private. Amazon trucks already come into your neighborhood every single day. Let's do something big and bold here. We do not need the United States Postal Service any longer. All right. Do I think that's going to happen? I do not. But it would be that would be such a perfect target because
it loses money on a regular
basis. Of course it loses
basis.
Money. Others to toss. He puts a little bit of a list together here. Fracking happened despite the Energy Department. Do we need it? I'd say get rid of it. Trump tariffs will curtail imports so we can shrink the export-import bank by at least a half. Close the Small Business Administration. And what does the Commerce Department even do, right? What about the Labor Department? What does the Labor Department do? It gives you the unemployment numbers every month, right? And they're a bunch of union puppets. What do they really do? What does the Transportation Department do? They have mileage and electric vehicle mandates that killed a good portion of Michigan and Detroit. Nice job. Do we need that? Let's look at all of these things, right? EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, Housing Urban Development, right? Veterans Affairs. One comment he makes here is, can't they use the same hospitals as the rest of us no matter who pays? That's a good question. How about the Department of the Interior? What do they do at the interior? That's for the environment as well. Maybe we can, you know, shrink some things and combine them and figure out what actual work is being done. But listen to this, okay? This is something that really, really jumps from this column. And I don't think people, you know, really know this. The amount of money the federal government has around 3 million civilian employees, okay? The average salary is $106,000 a year. Dr. Fauci made $481,000 last year, by the way. So there's room to cut. There really is. And one thing that we know, and this is true, I'm pretty sure it's true in all of government. St. Louis City, St. Louis County, you probably look at Jefferson County, St. Charles County, the state of Missouri, the United States federal government. In the last 5 years, let's just go when COVID started, right before COVID, have we actually had any, this is a serious question, have we had any government positions, significant, you can't just do one here and one there, that have been eliminated because these governments are not taking in as much tax money, right?
I doubt it.
Has anything been restructured in any of this, especially when you got people that aren't even coming to the office on a regular basis? There's layoffs. There were layoffs last week. I think Boeing had layoffs. You're going to have more layoffs as you get into next year. It's part of even when an economy grows, you're going to have shifts, of course. But there's never ever. And it's not like I dislike people that work in government. There's some people that certainly are required, but they have these cush positions and they have wages and salaries that are indexed to inflation and they never lose their job. And in many cases, they have pensions, so they suck on the taxpayers even more. So let's take a look at these things. Cassie Smedley mentioned Senator Coburn. I loved what Senator Coburn did every year. He would release the pork book, and I think they would do that with, there was one of the groups out there that I like that focuses on government spending. But this is a real opportunity to get some stuff done. Even if you just take the scalpel to a few of those things that I mentioned, that's a victory in the next couple of years. We got Sue's News coming up in the next hour.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric I4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.